Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we start a new chapter, Babu Fadl al-Itqi, the chapter on the virtue of freeing slaves. This is one chapter that generally people, because of the lack of knowledge and because of the Western influence, then Muslims become very defensive about the aspect about slavery in Islam, and people start thinking that Islam is very cruel. And those people that spread the wrong information and give a wrong understanding about Islam, the Muslims also start becoming apologetic about slavery, where slavery is such a thing that was existing long before Islam came. Long before Islam came, there was slavery, and also what was there was cruelty in slavery. What Islam did was Islam came and taught that people that were slaves must be freed. And Islam is the religion that encouraged the freeing of slaves. And to such an extent, Islam encouraged equitability, equity among slaves, that you'll find that many, many muhaddiseen, that they actually learned hadith from their masters. We ever heard of this, where a person is studying under his master. So Islam has brought about such equity, such equality, such a high level of respect for slaves that was never there. So the West give the wrong impression that Islam is very cruel because of slavery. So we'll do a little bit of introduction. It's a short chapter, but a very important chapter to understand. Slavery is another one of those subjects which the West has wrongly and grudgingly attributed to Islam. The truth of the matter is that slavery existed long before the emergence of Islam. Islam made tremendous strides in improving the treatment of slaves. Islam encouraged the freeing of slaves and forbade any form of oppression upon them. In fact, the system of slavery orchestrated by the West was unjust wars and financial oppression, which is worthy of criticism. Islam, on the other hand, encourages the freeing of slaves. For this reason, the freeing of a slave for the breaking of a promise, for an unintentional murder, etc. There are many instances in Islam where a person is encouraged to free a slave because of some wrong action he did. Now the compensation for this is freeing a slave. So Islam made freeing slaves a thing that is very, very noble. Islamic history also shows that many great scholars and worshippers were originally slaves. In fact, some of the slaves even acquired authority and leadership. Allah Ta'ala gave the slaves such high respect that at some point they became authorities. This was what Islam had given them. And in the ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala also encourages this freeing of slaves. So freeing of slaves is not something that is just by the way. Ayat of the Quran also explaining the importance of or the virtue of freeing of slaves. قال الله تعالى فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةِ فَكُّ رَقَبَةِ. Allah Ta'ala says, for what reason does man not emerge from the abyss? What will inform you of what the abyss entails? It entails setting slaves free. This word aqaba in Arabic actually refers to dushwar guzar pahari rasta. It's like a very dangerous mountainous path, something like a canyon, what we refer to as a abyss in English. So you go, in other words, it's very, very dangerous. People are very reluctant to tread this path, because if you fall from there, it can be very, very dangerous. It's not an easy mountainous path. Can you imagine? You got complete hollow on both sides. It's a very narrow, difficult path. People are reluctant to do it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a similarity between the freeing of slaves and people being reluctant to walk on a mountainous path. Freeing of slaves got to do with what? With spending one's money. People are reluctant to spend one's money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling, in other words, فَكُّ رَقَبَ, free these slaves. As much as you may be reluctant to spend your money, free them. أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَزْغَبَ. And the next ayah, next part of the ayah also got to do with spending. Or feeding on a day that there is poverty, feeding some poor family members. In other words, take out some money, spend on them, on the poor family members. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to this as treading a very dangerous mountainous path, like how people are reluctant to do that. People are reluctant to do this. In other words, do it. This is something that you should be doing. So who is encouraging the freeing of slaves? Islam is encouraging the freeing of slaves. Yet the West make it seem as though Islam is encouraging slavery and Islam is encouraging cruelty towards slaves. The first hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال لي رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man a'taqa raqabatan muslimatan a'taqa Allahu bi kulli 'udwin minhu 'udwan minhu fi an-nar hatta farjahu bi farjihi, muttafaqun alayh. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, if one frees a Muslim slave, for every limb of his, for every limb of that slave that one person freed, Allah Ta'ala will free one of his limbs from the fire of Jahannam. In other words, the person that is freeing another person, for every limb, now when you free a person, you free him with everything. There's no such thing as your leg is free and your hand is not free, or your head is free and your body is not free. When a person is freed, he's freed completely. Every part of his body is free. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. If one frees a Muslim slave, for every limb of his, Allah will free one of his limbs from the fire of Jahannam, even his private part, even to the extent of his private part. Ulama explain why specifically private part is mentioned, because generally a person commits gunas with this part also. Even that gunas Allah Ta'ala will forgive a person for, because he freed a person. And ulama also explain that the virtue mentioned here is not restricted only to a Muslim slave, but it includes non-Muslims as well. However, if a person frees a Muslim slave, he will get greater reward because of his action of restoring honor and freedom to a Muslim. We'll do one more hadith. And Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu qal, qultu ya Rasulallah, ayyul a'mali afdal? Qal, al-imanu billah wal-jihadu fi sabilillah. Qultu ayyul riqabi afdal? Qal, anfasuha inda ahliha wa aktharuha thamanan, muttafaqun alayh. As Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu narrates, that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the best of actions? Look at the questions that Sahaba would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were interested in knowing which actions are the best, which qualities I can have that will be the best. And our minds generally, which investment is the best, which house is the best, which car is the best, which things of this dunya is the best. Our mind generally is only restricted to dunya. But Sahaba, they were more interested in akhirat. So he's asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the best of actions? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, believe in Allah Ta'ala and waging jihad in his path. So he goes on to say, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu goes on to say, that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the best slave to set free? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, a slave that is most valued by his masters and the one with the highest price. In other words, when you are spending more on a slave than it is, you're getting a higher reward for setting him free. Or if he belongs to you and he's valuable, he's very, very valuable, and now you're setting that type of slave free, you're getting more reward. So what we come to know, that a slave whose limbs are perfectly sound, even though there is a great virtue for freeing a slave who is physically disabled or a person that may be not of such high value, but a person that is freeing someone that is physically sound, that is very, very valuable, the person is getting more reward. Not to say that he shouldn't free others, others should also be freed, but those that are of higher value, a person is getting more reward. So what we are taught in Islam, to spend more on freeing slaves. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding the beauty. In fact, there are many, many ahadith on the rights of the slave. That when you eat also, you feed them. When you clothe yourself, you clothe them. So many different aspects as far as the equality and kindness and mercy to show to slaves, to such an extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would even encourage that if you are asking them to help you and assist you as far as preparing your food is concerned, then feed them from that food, because they prepared it, they looked at it, they saw it. So they are also human beings, so feed them. So now this is something that we have to understand. When the West tries to create an image of Islam as barbaric, as backwards, we have to understand the beauty of Islam in a time. It is recorded in the history that in some places in Europe and America, that blacks from Africa were actually brought and put into zoos. Like how we go to see animals in a zoo, they would come to see a black person. That this is what a black person looks like. People would look at him, and they're looking at all the animals in the zoo. They'll come look at one cage that has got a black person in there. This is what a black person from Africa looks like. To such an extent, that's how they would treat slaves, who absolutely no value, no merit in society. Islam came and taught kindness, taught justice, and taught the freedom of slaves. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding what a beautiful deen we have got. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil